हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः लेट अस रीड फ्रॉम द वर्स नंबर 72
चित्तस्पन्दितमेवेदम्
ग्राह्य ग्राहकवद्वयम्
चित्तं निर्विषयं नित्यम्
असङ्गं तेन कीर्तितम्
चित्तस्पन्दितमेवेदम्
ग्राह्य ग्राहकवद्वयम्
चित्तं निर्विषयं नित्यम्
असङ्गं तेन कीर्तितम्
So in the previous verse, Gaudapada Acharyaji concluded saying, there is no Jivaha which is born, there is no Jagat which is created, there is no Jiva, there is no Jagat. All that is here is only Brahma, the motionless consciousness alone. Now, in seeming motion, isn't it? This universe is nothing but consciousness in seeming motion. This was very clear. Again, the doubt might come that how come that I'm still experiencing the Jagat, isn't it? Therefore, the answer, he repeats the answer. How many ever times we repeat the questions, he will repeat the answer. He says, Grahya Grahakavat Dvayam. The word obtaining in the form of knower known duality. The world of knower known duality, subject object duality, Grahakaha knower, Grahyam the known. The perceiver perceived duality, the world of duality is what he says. Grahya Grahaka Dvayam. Chittaspanditam eva. It is only appearance of consciousness in seeming motion. Chittam here means consciousness. You have to remember, chittaspanditam eva. No, spanditam means what? The motion, the movement. Chittaspanditam means consciousness in seeming motion alone is in the form of the world of duality. Really speaking, there is no knower other than consciousness. There is no known other than consciousness. And this is, there is only the Brahma. There is only Brahma. There is no real Jagat. There is only appearance of the Brahman. How, you have to remember here, When I'm in dream state, when I'm experiencing the dream world, the tangible, gross dream universe, which I'm experiencing in my dream, what is the tangible, gross universe which I'm experiencing in dream? That is nothing but intangible, thoughts in motion. The intangible thoughts in motion alone is in the no? And then in the form of appears in the form of the tangible gross dream universe. It's a fact. Similarly, this gross universe, the tangible gross universe, which I'm experiencing now, is nothing but intangible, motionless consciousness in seeming motion. Suppose this is what is actually in tradition symbolically presented as Lord Nataraja. I mentioned in the last class, I wanted to understand this very clearly. Natarajaha is what? Nataraja. You know, we are visualizing Nataraja, the whole universe is what? Visualize this Nataraja. The whole universe is the Nataraja here. You would have seen the Murti of Nataraja. So, the law, Nataraja is what now? Here, the dancer Nataraja is consciousness, and the dance is the cosmic dance. The whole cosmos is what? Dance here. And here, there is a constant, violent, fastest motion, seeming motion in motionless consciousness. Listen now, fastest, most swift, violent motion, constantly moving. That is what is symbolized by Nataraja's matted flocks of hair are parallel to the earth. Because the Murti does not move. That is static, isn't it? The static Murti. But still, how do you know that this is symbolized by what? The constant violent motion. That is symbolized by what? His the matted flocks of hair are parallel to the earth. That matted flocks of hair remaining parallel to the earth is possible only in one, no? Possible only if there is what? Constant motion. Some places, no? Some temples, they put panitta talai, means consciousness, no, without any, he doesn't move. There's a panitta talai. Viritta talai. No, in this dance. But also we say, we have it. Now what I want to say here, and this, the constant motion, constant, continuous, violent movement, motion, the fastest motion. And the whole world, what now? This whole world seems to be, isn't it, stationary. Really speaking, it appears to be stationary. Appears to be stationary, really speaking. How is this world? It is stationary, isn't it? It's only appearance. Because there's a subtle motion, isn't it? The fast motion, everything seems to be stationary. Really speaking, it's a constant motion. Even in the science, if you see, if you ask, you can say, what is this grass table, the grass mic here, all these grass forms, they seem to be stationary, isn't it? That is why we had to walk very carefully. Because they're all very, what is this grossest to all? What the grossest piece of wood here covering this place here? You know, everything tangible, every tangible gross stationary object here is nothing but constant, fastened motion of the energy, the subatomic particles. There's a constant motion, the neutrons, electrons, protons, and then energy, the constant motion, the fastest movement, isn't it? That appears to be what now? The stationary, the tangible gross things here. Even though all, really speaking, intangible electrons, intangible protons, intangible subatomic particles alone appear to be, in constant and violent motion, the fastest motion, this appear to be tangible, stationary, the gross objects here. That is why when our own body also, if we walk, no? If we walk somewhere, there's a piece of glass. Only if you don't even see here, if you walk through the glass, will happen. You'll break the glass, you'll break our head also. But how tangible and grass, it's very stationary. But really speaking, there is a constant, fastest movement of the energy or subatomic particles alone appears to be the tangible world of the stationary universe. That is science. And here, but they don't touch consciousness. And here Shastram says what now? It's all chitta spandita means what? It is all the thought motion alone makes this world appear. And the thought motion implies what? The motion, seeming motion in consciousness. The thought motion results in seeming motion in consciousness because this whole jagat appears. Understand? Therefore we say, chitta spanditam eva idam sarvam. Therefore what does it mean here? There is no jagat. There is no jivaha. There is no, relatively we experience, absolutely there is no jagat, there is no jivaha other than Brahma. If what is, there is only Brahma, there is no second thing other than Brahma. There is no second thing, there is nothing other than Brahma means, what is there is, you don't say one reality, only reality. Very important, isn't it? If you say one, the problem. What is there is only reality. There is no second thing, second reality. Advitiyam, advayam, Brahma. When you say second thing not there means, how can there be relationship? Relationship implies what? There must be more than one. For something called relationship to be there, for Sangaha to be there, there must be a second thing. There is no second thing, absolutely there is no second thing, second reality. What is only consciousness, therefore it is non-relationship free, asangaha. Okay, the wave can never touch, taint the water, pot can never touch or taint the clay, ornament can never touch, come in contact with the gold. Why? Because it is not separate. It is not different. Physically, it is non-distensible. Wave is non-distensible from water. The gold ornament is non-distensible from gold. Therefore, we say what? They are not two, one. Therefore, no relationship is possible. Therefore, asangam kirtitam. It is said to be what? Relation-free. Sambandha-rahitam. It is no. Atma is asangaha, nityam, asangam, tena, kirtitam, nirvishayam. There is no object of consciousness. There is no relationship possible. Therefore, there is no sangaha. Understand? Atma, asangaha. Understood the meaning now? Consciousness is ever asangaha. Aham that. Asanga Atma, you should remember. Yosti Kalpita Samvritya.
Yosti Kalpita
Samvritya. Paramarthena Nastyasau.
Paramarthena
Nastyasau. Paratantra Bhisamvritya.
Paratantra Bhisamvritya.
Syan nasti paramarthataha.
Syan nasti paramarthataha.
So, yaha asti, kalpita samvritya asti. So, this world of duality, obtaining in the form of the knower and the known, this duality which seems to be there, which is there from the standpoint of the waker, kalpita samvritya asti. Kalpita samvritya means empirically, the standpoint of empirical reality, relative reality, the standpoint of the waker never ever denied existence of the world. Don't say the world is not there. the world is very much real from the standpoint of the waker. Kalpita samvritya, there is duality, there is the world of duality exists, okay? Paramarthena asau nasti. But when can you negate the word prapancha upashamaha, upashamam? When can you say there is no word, only Brahma? Only from the standpoint of the absolute reality, the consciousness, you can say what? From the standpoint of relative reality, the waker never ever denied the existence of the world, say there is world of duality. The standpoint of consciousness, the absolute reality, what? There is no world of duality. Aso nasti. Paramarthena nasti. Paratantra abhisamvritya syat. Again he repeats. Paratantra abhisamvritya asti jagat. Paratantra abhisamvritya means, see, paratantra means other schools of thought. Paratantrani, all other philosophies. So people of the other, from the standpoint of other philosophers who are given to the different views of their own, no, they all see this world from the standpoint of the waker, from the standpoint of empirically, relatively, from the standpoint of the waker, no, which, that is the empirical reality. All these other schools, philosophers resorted to this the other empirical reality. From their standpoint, we say this world of duality is real. Why? It exists. You cannot say it does not exist at all. Paratantra abhisamvritya, this world is, the duality is real. But from which standpoint it is not real? Paramarthena, paramarthena. Please understand, paramarthena, from the standpoint of absolute reality, this world of duality is not real. It is not there, in fact. You cannot even talk about it as real or not. It is not there independently. Listen, paramarthena, it is not there. Okay, this all I explained last class. Now we'll go to the next new class, new verse. Ajah kalpita samvritya.
Ajah kalpita samvritya.
Paramarthena napyajah.
Paramarthena napyajah.
Paratantrabhinishpatya.
Paratantrabhinishpatya.
Samvritya. Samvritya jayate tu sah ajah kalpita samvritya paramarthena napyajah paratantrabhinishpatya
samvritya jayate tu sah.
Okay, now from this words on, this verse onwards, he is teaching little differently. What is he saying here? Ajaha. No, the text is word ajaha. What is ajaha? There are so many words used in the Shastram to reveal the nature of Brahman, the absolute reality, and which is the absolute reality being the reality of every being here. The reality of every individual also what? Same Brahman. Isn't it? We use these terms Atma or Brahman to imply what? The absolute reality, the only substance which alone enjoys a substantiality, which alone enjoys independent existence, which exists by itself, isn't it? Which is of the nature of existence. The only substance, Brahma, Atma. Now we use so many words to, as revealing the nature of that reality. And one of the words is what now? Ajaha. in Bhagavad Gita 2nd chapter, you would have heard all these words. Ajo nitya shashvato yam purano. Isn't it? Nitya sarvagatasthanu achaloyam sanatanaha avyattoyam achintyoyam avikaryoyam uchyate. So many words. Nityaha shuddaha buddhaha advaitaha advitiyaha. You know, katyam jnanam anantam. All these words we have. So many words. And each word does not indicate the reality. I explained this to you very clearly. The word in Sanskrit language is called padam. Why is it called padam? The very word padam means that by which a given object is arrived at, understood. Padyate anena iti padam. That by which a given thing is arrived at, understood, is what's called padam. Understand? So here we say all these, that's why every word indicates directly an object. Mike. Immediately the word takes you to the object. Isn't it? Light, flower, wall, window, door. Every word directly takes you to the object, reveals the object. But all these words, advayam, advitiyam, shuddham, nityam, muktam, hatyam, jnanam, anantam, all these words do not indicate the reality directly. Okay, even satyam, chaitanyam, chit, consciousness, existence, we get the word directly. Really don't directly reveal the words. But all these words are used, each word, what now, reveals the nature of the reality. So by listening to the word, we understand the nature of, understand the reality in terms of its nature. By hearing the word, we understand the reality in terms of its nature. Understand? Now, okay, satyam, the existence. We don't understand. We understand the reality in terms of its nature, swarupam. Each word only reveals the swarupam, nature of the reality, not reality directly, isn't it? The reality has to be understood in terms of its nature. But when do we use these words? Only when you, from the standpoint of the empirical reality, the standpoint of the universe, when you see this universe, taking this universe as reality, okay, when you say this universe is there, it must have its cause. How can universe come from, universe must have come from somewhere. From a non-existent thing, an existent thing cannot come into being. The universe must have come from somewhere. It must have its cause, isn't it? When you think about it, and initially what we say now, to first of all, the if we say the universe is not there, very first class, there is no universe at all. There is only Brahma. If you say, you will not believe. What should you say? There is universe because we are experiencing, we are enjoying it, there is, it serves a purpose, and it entertains us, isn't it? Therefore, the universe is within the realm of the order, therefore universe is. When you say, and therefore you have to accept that, because you're, what you are perceiving. I mean, so strong, then we say the universe has come from, must have come from somewhere, then what, no, that's a cause, no? The cause is Brahman. The universe has come from the Brahman. First you accept it. Then afterwards we say what slowly, this kind of adhya, ropa, apavada prakriya we use, then we make you see there's no word. Then finally, when there's no world, we say there's no effect at all. You can't call the world effect when it is not even there. Isn't it? We cannot talk about something which is not there as an effect. You negate the world first. Thereafter you say what? Therefore, Brahman, there's no karanam also. The causal status attributed to Brahman also you negate. Isn't it? Then you say it's only Brahma. But initially when you say, when the whole world is what now? Everything has a beginning, comes jatam. The jiva is jataha, jagat is jatam. the world is born, the universe is born, the individuals are born here. We say here. So what about Brahman? So we think Brahman as Brahman alone originated, as the universe means. We mistake Brahman for something which has birth. When you say Brahman originated as the universe means, Brahman is the cause of the universe means, Brahman must undergo change, isn't it? We see Brahman as Savikaram Brahma. Brahman undergoes change. Brahman must undergo change to become the universe. If we say Brahman as the Jagat Karanam, if we see the universe as the effect, product, and from the standpoint of the universe we see Brahman as the Karanam, then you say what now? Brahman must undergo a change to become the effect. To negate that, to negate our understanding, the word is used. From the standpoint of the empirical reality, the word, when you mistake the Brahman for something which undergoes a change, look at Brahman as cause, then Upanishad uses the word what? Ajaha. Ajaha means what? Ajaha means unborn. Unborn means birthless. Birthless implies what? It does not undergo any change. The word ajaha is equal to birthlessness. Birthlessness implies changelessness. You know, the reality is of the nature of changelessness. Changelessness being the nature of reality is implied by the word birthless, you know, birthlessness, which is implied by the term ajaha. So when do you use the word ajaha? Only from the standpoint of the empirical reality, only from the standpoint of the world of objects, world of duality, where things come and go in relative sense, you to distinguish the reality from the things which come and go, which seemingly come and go, to distinguish the reality which does not come and does not go, use the term ajaha. So when do you use the word ajaha? The word ajaha we use to imply the reality from the standpoint of the world of objects which seemingly arrive and depart. Is it clear? Which means to distinguish the reality from all those things which arrive and depart, seemingly. But from the standpoint of consciousness, you cannot use even this word ajaha. This is what I want to say. Okay? From the standpoint of consciousness, the Atma, the Brahma, from the standpoint of consciousness, you cannot use any word. Ajaha, nityaha. Can we use the term nityaha? You cannot use the term nityaha also to imply the reality. You can use the word nityaha from where? Eternal. From the standpoint of arriving, departing, non-eternal world of empirically real, you know, objects. You can say what? To distinguish the reality, you can say non-eternal. Brahman is eternal nityaha. And from the standpoint of objects which are spatially limited, to distinguish the conscious the reality from these spatially limited objects, you can say sarvagataha. Ajaha, nityaha, sarvagataha. And even satyam, existence. You can use word satyam. What is reality? Satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma. Upanishad uses that word also. Even satyam you can use to imply, you know, as the, something which implying the nature of reality only from the standpoint of the empirical real world. To distinguish the reality, the consciousness from which is of the nature of existence, now to distinguish it from the world of objects which do not have independent existence, which have only dependent existence, to distinguish the reality from them, use the term satyam. to negate the other things as abrahma, anatma, to distinguish the consciousness, use this word satyam. What about jnanam? I tell you, we will be very upset to listen to this word. Even the word jnanam you cannot use to mean the reality. Consciousness, jnanam, jnanam brahma. To distinguish the reality, being consciousness, which is of the nature of knowledge, to distinguish it from all the inert material in a world of objects, use the term from the standpoint of this empirical real world, to distinguish the reality, you use the term jnanam. Anantam, spatially, time-wise, object-wise, limitless reality. To every object in this world is what? Subject to time. Everything in this world is what? Subject to spatial limitation. Every object being different from every other object is subject to object limitation, isn't it? All the objects of knowledge which constitute this world, the entire world of objects, including your body, mind, sense complex, is what? Subject to time limitation, subject to spatial limitation, subject to object limitation. Bound by threefold limitations. And from this, to distinguish, differentiate the reality, the consciousness. Now, to understand reality being distinct from cause and the effect, distinct from everything that is here, from the standpoint of the empirically real world of duality, you use the term anantam to distinguish it as what? That which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is free from time limitation, spatial limitation, object limitation, therefore which is distinct from everything else, which is not anything here. Because anything and everything subject to all these limitations is not Brahman, not Atma. Isn't it? To distinguish the reality from everything else, we use these words, all these words. So where do we use these words? All these words implying the nature of reality, such as satyam, jnanam, anantam, nityaha atma, sarvagataha atma, shuddaha atma, muktaha atma, advitiyaha atma, advayaha atma, turiyaha atma. All these words we are using to imply the nature of the reality, only from the standpoint of the empirically real world of objects, world of duality. From the standpoint of the reality, the consciousness, you cannot use any words at all. Understand? Therefore, the Brahman, the reality, which is said to be ajaha, unborn, which is of the nature of, he gave only one word, I have used many words, okay? Which is of the nature of changelessness, that word, the which means Brahman is birthless, unborn, which implies a changelessness, even that word you can use only from the standpoint of the empirically real world of duality, not from the standpoint of absolutely real consciousness. You cannot use any word. Okay. Because the word can be used only to distinguish one thing from the other. What do you need? When do you need to use the word? Tell me. It's a very subtle teaching. Hope you're all with me. Please be with me. If you're a little tired, get up. Very subtle teaching. When do we use words? Sollukkadangaan. In Tamil we say. Now, when do we use the word? only when you need to distinguish one from the other, you need to use the word. Please call Purushottam, not, you know, Purushottam means the two boys sitting of the same size, okay, and same weight. So you have to distinguish one from the other. Therefore, you have to use this word, isn't it? Please bring the chair. Definitely you will not bring tumbler or cup or table. Why am I saying? Words are used to distinguish one from the other. When there are more than one, or when plural, dual, plural are there, then you can use the words. When there is non-dual, secondless reality, which word can you use? Okay? So all these words, implying the nature of reality also, we use to arrive at Brahman. Having arrived at the reality, the consciousness, the standpoint of consciousness, you see no word can be used. Now, Swamiji gives this example. You know, suppose imagine if the whole world, you know, constantly is moving, isn't it? Rotating. The earth is rotating itself and coming around the sun. Imagine the world does not move, does not rotate itself. What will happen? The world remains, you know, without rotating itself, it remains stationary like this. What will happen? One side will have only light. The part of the world exposed to the sunlight will be always light. There won't be darkness at all. It is only light. And do you need to talk about the darkness? When do you need to talk about the darkness? To distinguish the light from the darkness, to distinguish darkness from the light, you need to use the word light and darkness. It is only light. There is no darkness at all. Do you need to distinguish the light? Do you distinguish the light? Oh, there is only light. Imagine there is no such... Suppose all of us are going and living in Surya Mandala, okay? We are all living in sun. We can't even go near, okay? Even here, sitting here, the sun's rays are a little brighter, we get scorched. Imagine, if we all live in the very sun, where the darkness can never come, and will you have the need to talk about something called darkness? Yeah. Therefore, do you need to distinguish the light from the darkness? Distinguishing, discerning is possible only if there is other, one. Isn't it? Therefore, when do we use all these words? Satyam jnanam anantam brahma nitya sarvagata sthanuhu achaloyam sanatanaha avyaktoyam achintyoyam avikaryoyam uchyate nirvikaraha avikaryaha sarvagataha sthanuhu achalaha. All these words we are using, and every word implies the nature of reality. We understand the reality in terms of its nature. No, they don't have to directly reveal only from the standpoint of the world of duality, empirically real world of duality. To distinguish the reality from there, we use all these words. Shastram uses the words. And using the words, Shastram helps you arrive at the reality implied by those words. Having arrived at it, from the standpoint of consciousness, no word is applicable. There is no jaha for you to use the word ajaha. There is no anityam. There is no such thing called anityam. You already seen the word maya is, no, maya, the matter is non-definable because it is not there. You cannot define something which is not there at all. It is permanent, impermanent, it is real, it is not real, it is changing, it is unchanging. You can talk about something, define something, only when it exists. You have already said what? There is no matter. Therefore, there is no such thing called world, material world. It is not there, means non-definable. Already said that. Now, it is not there. Then what is there then? Only the reality. This only reality is there means, what do you want to distinguish the reality from? Only when you say what is there for you to, one, if you say you can distinguish, two, if you can say distinguish, only means, if you use the term only, kevalam brahma, only reality means, is there anything which you need to distinguish it from? No. Then, that's why you can't use any words. Therefore, from the standpoint of Brahman, paramarthena, even Brahman is not even ajaha. Which means what? You cannot use any word. Is it clear now? That is what is said in this verse. That is why Bhagavan is called Anamakaha Anamika, nameless. What is the name of the Lord? Nameless. Non-nameable. It's very subtle teaching, beautiful teaching. I hope you understood it. Isn't it? That's why Vacham Agocharam, not available for sense perception, not available for thought conception, not available for word description. Vacham Agocharam. Yato vacho nivartante apraapya manasasaha. Words try and go and try to describe Brahman, per words return. Incapable of describing the reality. What does it mean? When you say the only reality, it is non-describable, which means there is no word. That is what is said in this word. Even the words such as ajaha, etc. Ajaha, nirvikaraha, nirvikalpaha, no, satyaha, buddhaha, all the words implying the nature of reality also can be used only from the standpoint of the empirically real world of duality. From the standpoint of consciousness, no word can be used. Which means no word can ever reveal the nature of reality. Okay. Ajaha kalpita samvritya. He says, even the birthlessness, changelessness, the words such as unborn, etc., used in the nature of reality, are usable, used only from the standpoint of the empirically real world of duality. Kalpita samvritya. Only from the standpoint of the waker. Kalpita samvritya means, from the standpoint of the waker, from the standpoint of the empirically real world of duality, the word such as jajaha can be used to imply the nature of Brahman. Paramarthena na api ajaha. Reality, Brahman is not even ajaha. Unborn, birthless, changeless. Reality is not even that. The standpoint of reality. Paramarthena. You have to understand the standpoint. Paratantra abhinishpatya samvritya jayate tu saha. But when do you say this? Brahman originated as jiva, originated as the jagat. When do you say that? Only from the standpoint of the waker. And only from the standpoint of the empirical reality, relative reality, and which is resorted to by all other schools. Paratantra abhisamvritya means paratantrani, the people of different schools of thought who view this world from the standpoint of the waker, from the standpoint of empirical reality, relative reality, from their standpoint, you can say what? The world is born. The world is created. The world is origination of Brahman. The jiva is origination of Brahman. We can say that. The standpoint of the baker, standpoint of empirically real world of duality, empirical reality, we can say that. The standpoint of absolute reality, not even ajaha. Understand? When we get confused, we say there is the jiva born, immediately Upanishad comes, jumps and says, hey, not born. Brahman is not born. Jagat is born? No. Then it uses the word what? Ajaha. But once you arrived at reality, no word. Therefore, when you talk about the origination, birth, creation, etc., all of them you can talk about when? The standpoint of the waker, from the standpoint of empirical, relative reality, we can talk about the creation, etc. Standpoint of absolute reality, you cannot talk about the creation. There is no creation. Okay, with this, the teaching is, the essence of the teaching is over. Now here onwards, the new topic begins. Again, he wants to take us back to introduction to Vedanta. You'll all be happy. You know, he wants to remind us. Now, he has finished teaching. He has given the essence of the Vedantic teaching. And he wants us to go back to the very introduction to Vedanta study. He again presents, you know, which means the fundamental human problem is diagnosed. Isn't it? Proper, accurate diagnosis of fundamental human problem is presented. And the remedy also is mentioned here. Isn't it? Why? Because there is no world of duality. There is no individual. There is no world. There is only Brahma. There is no jiva means. There is no birth. And where is the samsara? There is no samsara. Isn't it? There is no samsara. But still, what is samsara? There is no samsara at all. If there is no samsara at all, why there is samsara then? Why there are no problems at all, why there are problems? Isn't it? This is what, no? What is not there is mistaken to be there. Okay, mistaking what is not there to be there is what? Erroneous perception. What is not there at all is mistaken to be there. There is no snake at all. But you see, you said there is a snake. And what do you say? There is a fear. Fear of seeing the snake. The fear has no legitimacy. Understand? Puja Swamiji says in Gita, who was reading Bhagavad Gita, you will know that. No, the sorrow has no legitimacy. Fear has no legitimacy. Why? The fear is purely because of your perception of non-existent snake. The snake is not there, but still there is a snake for you. That, understand, the non-existent is taken to be existent. That is, it's purely in your perception. This error in perception is caused by ignorance. Okay? Please go for your tea. There's some nice fruit salad also. Please enjoy. Come back.